Hello, everyone, and welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Paula Vail here. I am your host. I am just so thankful to have everyone with us today. I appreciate my listeners so much, and I love waking up to emails every morning. I'm so thrilled to share with you today just a fascinating, beautiful, caring young lady. Her name is Amy Toy. She is an intuitive counselor, past life regression therapist, integrated energy therapy practitioner, angelic healer, oracle reader, psychic medium, Reiki healer, and radio show host. Oh my gosh, I am so excited to hear more about you, and especially Amy, you know, you've had two near-death experiences. I'm really fascinated to hear about that. I would love to begin with just a big welcome, Amy. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula, for having me on. This is an honor. It's really cool. I feel such a surge in my energy just talking with you. My angels are so happy to be here today. They really are. The room's getting a little warm, and I have the air on, so that tells you a lot right there.
I love it. It's an angel party. They are with us. I love our angels. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Well, would you like to begin with just sharing a bit about yourself to the listeners and, you know, what brought you to where you at? I know you've done what you've done for years and years. I would love to hear a bit about this if we can.
Sure. Well, I started when I was a kid. I was very intuitive and very empathic, and when you're 3 years old and you're playing with fairies and angels as your playmates and you'd rather play with them than the children of your neighborhood, you know, there's something wrong with that. Well, that's what my mom used to say. She would joke around with that, but I could see spirit and hear spirit from the young child. I was always connected to source, I feel, and the angels especially. When I was 7 years old, I just want to share this, I had my first sighting of a spirit coming to me. My grandmother had passed away, my mom's side of the family, and my grandmother came to me and said, I'm okay, you know, tell your mother I'm okay, because my mother, you know, was overwrought with grief, and I go to my mother and I tell her this message, and she goes, oh my God, you have the gift. And I didn't realize that in my family lineage, especially from her side, that that's where I get my gifts from. My intuitiveness, my healer abilities. My great-grandmother was a very well-known healer from where I'm from, which is Western New York.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, my mother kind of grew up with this, but didn't realize she would have a child that was very intuitive themselves. So my mother was around it, but, you know, she understood it, but she didn't. So I've been dealing with, you know, spirit for years. So, I mean, if you have any questions, you know, because spirit is ready to talk. The angels are ready to talk today.
I love it. I love it. Well, yeah, one question I'd like to put out there, because, you know, this is just, I believe, such a message for everyone. And I would love your input on this, your take. The angels are with us always, aren't they? I mean, we are so surrounded by our angels and loved ones, and we're never alone, are we, Amy?
Oh, no, we're never alone. But the great thing about the angelic realm is that they will only help you if you call upon them.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, angels, help me. And I'm sure we all had those instances in our lives where we felt really depressed or felt, you know, like you said, alone. And we call on the angels, and we feel that comfort. And that has been throughout my life. There has been a thread throughout my life where the angels have come and helped me through so many things. And I was at my lowest points in so many ways, and the angels have helped me. And that's what I'm saying to people. You call on them, they're going to be there for you. They're the messengers. They're God's helpers.
Yes. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. Oh, my gosh. How long did it take you? Was your mother the first one you really said anything to about what you were seeing and feeling and picking up on?
Yes, I didn't. To me, when you're a child, like 3 years old, and like I said, having fairies and angels you're playing with, you know, you just think that's normal as a child. And as you get older, it's kind of frowned upon. And my mother was really the first person that noticed I was different. My dad did too, but my dad wasn't really aware as my mom was, because like I said, my mom was brought up with her, which would have been my great-grandmother, her grandmother, around this all the time. And my mother would share stories after that about my grandmother reading the tea leaves, or, you know, doing healing remedies or putting hands on healing or whatever. So she was aware of it. But yeah, she was the only one I really talked to at that time about it.
Yes. Oh, reading leaves. That's exciting. I remember when I was in Peru, I had a one-on-one visit with an amazing shaman, and he read the coca leaves. And it was so fascinating.
Oh my God, that is so cool. See, I haven't gone into that yet. Sometimes I'll do different divinations when I'm doing my readings, and I haven't read the tea leaves yet.
Uh-huh.
I can read everything else. I might as well just do it.
Yes.
I love doing stuff like that.
What was it like for you? You were reading, you know, doing tarot readings when you were a teenager. What was that like? And tell us a little bit, for those that don't know what that means. What is that?
A tarot card is a deck of 72 cards, which has different suits. Like, you know, you can even use a regular actually playing deck, which I've done too. And they have different suits. They have the pentacles, which represents money. You have the cups, which represents relationships, feelings, and love, emotions. You have the wands, which to me, people, I'll explain that in a minute, fire and, you know, action. And then you have the air, which is thinking and sometimes burdens or conflict. And then you have the major arcana, which is different cards. They're major. They go from the full card to the world card and everywhere in between. And I do teach tarot classes to people who want to have a greater understanding of it. But it's different. It kind of brings out your abilities. When I'm teaching a tarot student, for example, I always suggest they get a tarot deck, because then we can pull out their abilities a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And the tarot tells a story. It tells a story. Everything tells a story. It's just one of the tools we use to bring up our intuition. So I don't usually need the tarot. I am clairaudient. I hear spirit. So, but that's one of the tools that I use.
I love it. I'm personally very into receiving signs. Oh my gosh, I will see feathers, dimes, particular animals in a certain spot. Yep. Oh, I just love that, because that's messages as well.
Yes, that is. And I love doing animal totems as well, because Ted Andrews had a wonderful book. And my father was part Native American, so I got into that when I got older, and I would see different animals, and they were different signs from the universe, and I'd look it up in his book or on a website or something, like, oh, that's the message, you know.
I love him.
It's really cool. It's really cool when we really are aware and observe. We can actually read ourselves, but people don't understand that or trust that either.
Yes. And isn't that a great a point to make, Amy? Something for us to think about. Take time to observe. Because if we're not paying attention, we can miss so many messages. And the angels are giving us messages. Source is giving us messages.
They are. You know, and Doreen Virtue has a great book called Angel Numbers. Angel numerology.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep getting the same number pattern, like 111 or 222 or 333, you can look that up in her book. And that is the message from the angels as well, if you want to start out that way. I always tell people, if you want to look for signs, keep it simple and keep it small.
Yes.
And go from there, because it will expand as you become more aware. And we're always on that hamster wheel these days. Don't you notice that, Paula? We're always on the hamster wheel. Going nowhere.
Yes, and I love you mentioned the numbers. I get 444 all the time. I woke up and looked at the clock this morning, and it was 444.
That's usually your angels telling you I'm here.
Yes,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and it just makes you smile. It does. Oh my gosh, yeah. Amy, I'm really excited to hear about, because this is so intriguing, but yet so difficult to understand in a way for some. Me, I just jump on it. I think it's so fascinating. I've done some research about this. But tell us about your first NDA, your first near-death experience. What was that
like? My first near-death experience was kind of, let me say it this way, it was a blip on the radar as opposed to the second one. The second one changed my life more than the first one. The first one, I feel, was a turning point for me because it helped me to realize that I was a greater force in the universe. I was part of a greater purpose, okay? I remember it as being very, I was going in the hospital for something. I'm very sensitive as an intuitive. I don't know about you, but I'm very sensitive to medications. Okay.
Yes.
Very, very sensitive. So the first time I went in the hospital, they gave me a medication and my heart stopped. I remember seeing the white light and that's all I remember. I remember coming back feeling different, but it didn't really impact me until the second one.
Oh, tell us about that second one.
The second one was more impactful. So the first one I had was very like a blip on the radar, but I knew I had gone to the other side. It was a brief moment of coming back and forth. I remember that. I did remember the white light, and then I saw me going back through the tunnel. I remember that. The second one was where I had, once again, a medication that doctors gave me, and I was behind the wheel of a car. And I went into what they call anaphylactic shock, which means your system shuts down. And I was really going through a rough time at that period of my life, and I was asking for help. Well, I guess the universe answered my call, but in more of a dramatic fashion. What happened was I went and passed out behind the wheel, but I hit a concrete abutment that housed propane. So it was a concrete wall that I had hit. I remember them, you know, looking, having an out-of-body experience, looking down and seeing them working on my heart. They took me out of the vehicle and were pounding on my chest. And all through that night, I was in and out, in and out, in and out.
Oh my gosh.
Because they couldn't revive me. It was like, my, you know, I wanted to go, which I'll explain in a minute, but I remember my brother-in-law was a volunteer fireman, and he was one of the first ones on scene, and I remember seeing him very upset. He didn't know it was me in the vehicle that he was the first one to respond to the call because it was right up the street from his house.
Oh.
So I remember that. I remember going through the tunnel to the light, and I remember I wasn't met with, you know, some people have deceased loved ones, their mother, father, whatever, grandfather, meet them. I didn't have that. Who did I have at my beck and call was the angels.
Oh.
I was surrounded by angels. And they're not the angelic portrayals we see like in pictures, okay? You know how we see the wings and, you know, we see, you know, and human features. I saw more beings of light, like indigo, greens, reds, blues, all the different colors I couldn't describe to you. And I remember going up to the light, and the light was talking to me. I don't know who was talking to me, but
goodness.
I feel it was God. And, you know, this being said to me, this is your life, welcome. And you're going to make the decision, really, if you want to go back. But when I looked at my life, Paula, and when I saw my life at that point, it was a turning point because I feel that I was allowing people not to respect me, my boundaries, who I was as a person. I was like the doormat. And I had felt so much pain and heartache up to that point because I was allowing things to happen, and I wasn't allowing, let me say this, before I went into the car accident, I did not have I was very numb inside. I was angry at God for some things. So I was reawakened. And they showed me the purpose of my life, which was to be a psychic healer, write books, lecture, and tell people about what I had gone through. So I had looked over my life, and by the way, a lot of my relationships after my near-death experience changed, even a lot of my family relationships, we'll talk into in a minute. But they said, you know, you have a greater purpose. And I was told this when I was 12 years old, too, by the way. I had an experience. So they said, you're really, if you want to come, but that's, you can come back, but really you have more purpose. You have more of a purpose. You're going to be sent back. You would have to be reborn and sent back. You might as well just do your mission. So I came back. Very reluctantly,
wow.
By the way. Very reluctantly because I didn't want to come back. I felt so much peace and love. And you hear that a lot with people with near-death experiences. You feel that peace and love and harmony. And ever since that near-death experience, I've always had an affinity with the angelic realm. I had more so a connection with the angelic realm since that point. And that was back in 2000.
Wow. So they pretty much laid it out there and said, honey, you have more work to do. You can go back now or you can do it.
You know, in the next lifetime.
You
can be reborn and go back for it. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I might as well just finish what I started.
Wow.
And it changed me. I had suppressed my gifts because, don't forget, I was born with these gifts. I had suppressed them. And all of a sudden, they just blew wide open. I started seeing spirit, hearing spirit, experiencing spirit. I started reading people. One time, I was working at an insurance company, and this woman had just lost her daughter, and I could see the daughter walking beside her.
Oh,
and I didn't tell her this, and I didn't mean to freak her out.
Yeah.
So I had sought out teachers. The first 2 years after my near-death experience was the most confusing for me. I sought out teachers to help me unravel what happened to me.
Yes.
And I did. I learned a lot. I read everything I could about near-death experiences, mediumship, angels, everything. I read it. I read every book I could, everything. I was hungry for spiritual knowledge, and that's what I needed. I needed to become more spiritually fit.
Because, like after I said, this happened, Amy, did you tell other people about it? How long did it take you to share that experience?
Oh, my mom was right there when I woke up in the hospital, and I woke up later that afternoon, and my grandfather had told me that they told my mom and dad and him, when they were at the hospital, that they didn't think I was going to make it through the night. They didn't think. They kept bringing me off and on, in and out. And when I told her about my experience, she was shocked. I said, Mom, I had another near-death experience. Because I woke up and I kept seeing this white light. That's mm-hmm. all I saw when I woke up was this white light. I knew I had one right away. I knew it. It had changed me forever. Because I woke up in that hospital bed, I felt like a different person. Now, some people theorize I was a walk-in, which is another spirit that comes through you. But no, I don't think I'm a walk-in. I think I'm more of a person that had to change some things in their lives. And that's a life-altering change, that's for sure.
Yes, yes. Do you think anyone that passes and then comes back, for example, I have a family member that was in an accident and he passed away, but then he was able to come back, but he doesn't remember anything. So do you think anyone at any time that passes, that there is some kind of communication and some remember, some don't?
I believe so, yes, or maybe they're not open to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was very open to it because I was looking for some kind of answer in my life. I was very numb inside, very numb.
Yes.
And I remember just feeling that last summer before, this happened in September of 2000. I remember that summer just feeling really sad inside and depressed, like I had no purpose. Well, I guess the angel showed me I had a purpose,
yes.
or reawakened the purpose that I already knew I had,
yes.
which I feel is what happened to me.
Oh, yes. Well, with some research that I have done about near-death experiences, there are so many. I mean, there are so many documented out there. And, you know, a lot of us, I think, don't realize that. I had no idea how much of that goes on. It really is a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. Oh. And, you know, Dr. Raymond Moody, we have him to thank for a medical doctor for looking into this further. He was one of the first books I read. It was Life After Life. I believe it's from Raymond Moody. That's a book that I started with, and Danny and Brinkley's book, and Betty Edie's book, and anything I could get my hands on.
Yes.
Anything I could get my hands on. And, yeah. And then I started doing past life stuff, and it just opened up so many doors for me.
Yes.
It really did.
Now,
it was awesome.
Tell us about past life. What do you do? What do you do along that line? What's that work?
Well, that work is more of bringing, okay, it's a safe environment. What I do is I bring you through a guided meditation, and I take you through a past life that you've had or past lives. A lot of times there's a link. Like, for example, maybe you're coming to me, Paula, for an issue on anger. All right, we'll use anger. And, you know, that's a past life issue. That's a very deeply ingrained issue. And we go through the past lives, and we try to walk you through it and clear you out. That's part of it. Sometimes you don't even need to go through the past lives. You just have to know about the issues, and I'll see the past life, and I don't maybe want to walk you through it because sometimes those kind of past lives are very traumatic. You know, you may have been killed, or you may have had, you know, been tortured or something like that. But that's what I do. People call me up, and we just go through a guided meditation, and I walk you through things, and we clear out those issues. That's one way to heal yourself, is to walk through those issues in your tissues. And we use the angels. We really do.
Yes.
We call in the angelic forces. It's a safe environment.
Mm-hmm. So when you're doing this with a client, does the client remember the past lives?
Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. It all depends on how traumatic the past life is. Mm-hmm. I usually use my guides and angels and say, can we walk them through this past life or should we not?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't need to walk through it. You just need to clear it.
Yes.
No. Usually you don't need to. I will tell you about the past life, what I'm seeing, and what needs to be cleared and what needs to be acknowledged. And sometimes what you will undo is a past life too. You'll kind of go back and do what you should have done in that past life. There's many ways to work through that. People do not need to walk through their past lives. They can acknowledge it and just move past it.
Mm-hmm. And how do the past lives work along the line of karma? When you're working with a client, are you working with karma as well?
Yes, we do. Yes, especially let's say we have a spouse that has been cheated on, and maybe the injured party is coming to me. And I've had people who have been the cheaters, and, you know, there's been a lot of love triangles, you know, and everybody changes roles. Sometimes the person's the infidelator and the innocent party and then the spouse. I mean, they all change roles here. And so we go through that and clear that karma.
Oh, wow.
It's really cool because when you see it in readings, especially, you know, when I'm doing a reading, just a psychic reading, I can see the different components working out. I'm like, oh, yeah, you had three past lives with this person. Yeah, and you're the one who took the spouse in that lifetime. And, you know, you're just seeing it.
Wow.
And, you know, maybe, but if I'm doing a reading, if that person's not asking about that, I don't go into it. It's just shown to me. If they don't ask, I don't tell.
Yes.
Especially,
yeah. Oh, it must be fascinating doing this type of work for others. Oh, man.
It is. I mean, I did it more in my early part of my career. I did a lot of groups. I did a group that was a Wiccan group, and they had some issues in the group, let's say. So we did a past life clearing. I mean, it was huge. There was a lot of stuff. They even went back before the Salem witch trials. I mean, that's how far this had gone back. This had gone back to ancient Egypt, and we had cleared out some jealousies and some karma. And it all started with somebody that put, like, I don't believe in spells and curses, but they did. So we kind of cleared that for them. And ever since then, they've been very harmonious. And this was years ago. I used to do a lot of group work like that. I mean, it's very simple. It could be a past life situation that we need to clear out. Way back. I mean, it goes way back.
Oh, fascinating. So now, basically, your work is more one-on-one.
More one-on-one. Of the angel work, readings, tarot, things like that. But when I first started opening up, this is where I was led. So wherever I'm led, I learn and then, you know, take it from there.
Oh, wow. Wow, this is just so fascinating. I just love it. I just love it. And so it was after your second near-death experience.
Yes.
Is that where you just said, okay, this is the path I'm going to do, this is the work I'm going to do, and you just jumped in to helping others? Is that kind of how that
worked? I know, I was kind of pushed into it.
I love that. Yes.
Sometimes our life purpose finds us.
Yes. Oh, isn't that for sure? Amen to that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Amy, we are going to pop out for a break. Before we do, would you please share your website information with the listeners?
Most
they
definitely.
Can contact you.
It's actually in this, it's called, Amy, AMYTOY dot 123 look LOOK dot com.
Love it. Love it. And it's also on the show page if anyone wants to look at that. And this is just so fascinating and fun, Amy. I love it. So we will pop out, everyone. I will be right back with Amy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone, this is Paula Vail, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on VBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program, and look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula Vale here. If you are just joining us, I am with Amy Toy. We are having so much fun, such great conversation. Oh my gosh. Amy, you are just, you do so many things and you're just so inspiring, you know, how reminding us about our angels, about all the different things you do. And I thoroughly enjoyed your sharing of your two near-death experiences. There's so much to life. Oh my gosh, yeah. And the universe. It's all so fun. We've been chatting about what you do with clients and various things. And I know you also have some information to share about animals, and I would love that, being the animal girl I am, and I know a lot of listeners out there just love their pets, love the animals. Please, let's talk about animals a little bit.
Sure. Oh, yes. I love the animals, too. I have cats myself. I have a little clan going on here.
Oh.
And I have used my different, skill sets, because I want to get into about the integrated energy therapy. They have a segment for pets, and I've used my my healing abilities with my own animals and different animals throughout the years. So that's really cool. But animals are fascinating. They are the most simplest creatures to read. They really are. And they do have a lot to say. And pet owners will call me, and some of the things that come out of their pets' mouths, I'm like, oh, my God, you want me to tell your owner that?
Really? And really?
Yeah.
Oh, give us some examples.
One time I had a dog lover call me, and she was thinking this food, for example, this dog was just not liking her food. And the dog said, it used a derogatory term for the food. So the owner was like shocked. She goes, really? The dog thinks of that? He said, yes. Actually, the dog liked her cooking better than the food, and she was making very organic, food for the dog, and she thought she was helping the dog by going more to a holistic food. I guess the food wasn't well received. It was really bad. I'm laughing because, like I said, I can't say the term that the dog
is. Yes, yes.
But that's an example, because the dog would say, too, this dog was very colorful. She still calls me from time to time. Didn't like this one cat they had, and, they thought everything was fine, but every time this cat would come by, the dog would smack the cat. It's usually the opposite if you think cats and dogs. Usually the cat will smack the dog, but the dog was smacking the cat, and she was like, what is going on here with this animal? I said, well, he just doesn't like the cat, and the cat was supposed to be outdoors anyway, and he's kind of mad that the cat's indoors, and the cat's terrorizing him. So it was kind of funny how this dog would just talk to me, and she still calls me, like I said, after, and I've had clientele that calls me for years off and on. I always tell my clients, when you need me, you call me. Use your intuition, use your own intuition when it comes to that. But
yes.
that's just a crazy example.
Yes.
Of animals. I also work with animals telepathically, like some dogs or cats will have behaviors, and I try to get into their psyche, and they tell me what's going on. Like, for example, I had a cat, my own cat, that was digging up the rug, and I had moved to this house where I am now, And I kind of felt like there was another animal scent. And that's what she was trying to tell me. She didn't like the scent of the animal.
Mm-hmm.
Because that animal used to soil in the closet. And then I talked to a neighbor friend of mine, and she said, yeah, that she validated that. So things like that. And I try to talk to the animals, and I try to bring them home, too. I've had pets that have run away, and I guess I've had success in locating them. I don't like to do lost objects, but with the animals, I try to tune into where they are, and I'll, you know, direct the owner, and 9 times out of 10, they find the pet.
Yes.
So, and that's really cool to find, too, because sometimes pets, you know, run off, they're scared, and we find out why they ran off or why they're gone or mm-hmm. if they got out by mistake and who did it. Those are examples of the work that I do.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I'll have to set something up. I just love chatting with the animals. It's so great. And
they're fascinating. They have a lot to tell us. They do. And even with my own brood here of cats, and I have one that's very vocal. I have Chester here, my blonde tabby, and then I have a Max the Maine Coon. He's not as vocal, but he's a character. So, you know, those are the examples
yes.
of the pets that I have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they're cool. So funny. We have 2 cats and 3 dogs, one from Mexico, and I have another one coming from Mexico this month that I've rescued,
right.
that I fell in love with. And the cats are always like, really? Another dog?
Jealous because they don't want their, you know, cats are very, I've noticed, territorial of their owners.
Yes.
And they don't like it when another sibling comes in. So you're going to have some behavioral issues coming up here with the cats.
Yeah.
Here. That's what I'm sensing already. They're already ready plotting their revenge.
Yeah.
So.
I just love them. Oh. Well, you know, I can imagine how much fun you've had with this. And do you have any stories with working with your clients, things that have gone on that would be fun to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I have many stories. I mean, like I've been doing readings and just, you know, doing different things. And I mean, my clients are interesting because I have some that call me about, you know, when will he call me? But then I like the ones that talk to me about their life path and purpose. And I had a mm-hmm. woman call me about a month ago, and she was having some blocks in regarding her path. She knew she loved doing what her job was. She was going to college for it. I think it was event planning or something like that. And I said, you're missing a component. And, you know, during that reading, she kind of found the answers herself, but I was guiding her, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I love helping people find their path and purpose and maybe what's going on a spiritual level. This woman was just holding herself back energetically, thinking she couldn't do it because she had lost a job 10 years ago in a similar, what she was doing similarly. But I said, this time around, you're going to do something different, because I also saw catering as another component. And that was the missing piece, and now she's doing very well. Since we kind of put the jigsaw puzzle together. You know, I'm not here to be God or anything like that. I'm here to guide you.
Yes.
And that's why people call me. I'm here to guide you, but it's up to you to follow your own path because you have free will.
Yes. Oh, that just must be so fulfilling and just really touch your heart to be that kind
of
a
tool.
Those
are the calls you live for. Those are the calls that get me up in the morning. Not that my clients don't, because I love my clients. They, you know, like I said, many have been with me off and on through the years, or they call me and confirm what I've seen and said, you know, or what spirits, it's not me. I work with spirit and God and source and the angels. I'm just the channel that gives them the information. It's not of me, it's through me.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's what I love doing, is when I can get those messages out to them.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Tell us, Amy, what is integrated energy therapy exactly?
Now,
what does a practitioner do?
Oh, it's similar to Reiki, but Reiki is a denser healing energy, and I am a Reiki master, but I really like working with the integrated energy therapy, which is through the angels.
Uh-huh.
And it was developed from the Center of Being by Stephen Jay Thayer. He did this back in the late 80s, early 90s. I can't remember exactly. But I got into this right after my near-death experience. It was about a year after. I met a friend. It's interesting how spirit works out things, synchronicities. It was a friend of mine that got me into it. And I took the classes, and I got, there's four levels. There's beginners, intermediate, and advanced, and then master, and I'm a master. So I took all the levels, and it gets the issues out of the tissues. And what's great about it is you're channeling angelic energy. You're not channeling, you're channeling the angels. And what's great about it is that it works with the 12 strands of the DNA. It gets right into the core of the DNA. It's awesome. And it just gets right in there and gets the issues out of the tissues, and then it integrates. That's why it's called integrate energy therapy. Integrates all that stuff back into your body and your DNA and realigns things. It's really awesome. I find it easier to channel because the angels take care of all that stuff. If sometimes as a healer, you could take on other people's energies if you're not careful.
Yes.
So with the integrate energy mm-hmm. therapy, the angels take care of that for you.
Mm-hmm.
It goes right through you. And it's great. And I've seen a lot more successes with IET or integrate energy therapy than I have with Reiki for me. That's just my preference. And you can do it long distance. You can, you know, have people call you up and say, you know, let's work on a session. We can do what they call a session where they're not there and, you know, absentee. And I can, you know, work with them distant, long distance wise or hands on. And I've had successes with people. Throughout the years, especially in my own personal life, I've seen successes with it.
Yes. And I'm very curious, Amy. You mentioned an example where you saw a woman and her daughter who was passed was walking next to her.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you feel, you see, like a picture? What's that like?
No, I see it. It's in my physical eye. It's like a shadow.
I see that.
I saw her walking beside her mother, and it was really odd. And I later learned that spirit hadn't crossed through yet because she was so attached because her mother was grieving so hard. Well, she was 22 when she passed,
mm-hmm.
if I remember correctly, and she died of an eating disorder. She was anorexic, so she mm-hmm. starved herself to death. And so that was very tragic because the mother, I knew the mother very well, and she was trying to really help her daughter, and she just died of, I think, complication with her heart. So you could see that the daughter was still attached to the mother energetically. We had to call in. Actually, I had to get somebody else. I wasn't really well-tuned in or well-practiced at that time. I had someone else detach, you know, help that her daughter move to the light, and I'm still learning.
Yes.
So... It was an amazing experience, but it was also sad.
Yes. And when you see these others with people, do you instantly know who it is as well?
Yeah. Yes.
You feel that?
My gifts are, there's always expansion and always growth if you allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm getting more clear names and who it is
mm-hmm.
and what the relationship is. I could sense the relationship before and feel it, but now I'm getting more details. And I don't, that's kind of the work that I used to do. I don't really get into that once again. It's, some people like to do, you know, clearing out that stuff. When I'm doing an IET session, of course I will do it, but, that was in my earlier days when I was learning things. I mean, I went through this huge growth period the first 2 years. I mean, I was into everything.
Wow. So do you, here's a question. I'm just, you know, this is always just so fascinating to me. Can you be out and about and you pick up on something with someone that, let's say someone at the mall, and you pick up some kind of vibration or message, or you see something? Does that happen?
All the time, but
wow.
It's the boundary. I mean, my first mediumship teacher told me that if you're in the grocery store line and you get a message for the person in front of you, don't go there. Don't tap on the shoulder and say, "Hey, Fred wants to talk to you."
Wow.
That would freak you out, right?
Yeah.
It would freak anybody else.
Yeah.
But yes, I will pick up on things. I went to a party recently, and I have to protect myself. I have to shield myself because I pick up on people's energies. I'm an empath too, so which means I pick up on the people's emotions and feelings. And I was just absorbing things. It was kind of interesting, the different conversations I was picking up or the different interactions. I know who didn't like who and who was this and who was that.
Oh my gosh, Amy.
It's like, it's fascinating to me now. It's kind of like me watching a movie and seeing all this on the big screen. But it took me how many years to learn that, not to pick up other people's energies, just to mm-hmm. be detached from it. And you know, and if you're opening up to as an empath or as an intuitive, you have to learn boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then that party was a great example of what I was seeing. I was like, huh, there's a lot of drama in this group tonight.
Yes. I mean, that's almost, entertaining. I can imagine the kind of things you pick up just in everyday life.
And people may argue and say, well, that's personal stuff, Amy. No, it's not. Energy is energy. You see energy.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
If you project it from your mind out there, it's like a movie projector. You're the movie projector, and you're the screen is what I'm seeing.
Yes.
That's the only way I could liken to it. It's like I'm watching a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Our energy vibrates. It goes out there. Yeah.
Oh, it does. And, you know, people, like I said, are saying, well, that's, you know, aren't you violating their privacy? No, because anyone really can pick that up. You know, I was talking to a woman at this party, too. She's like, yeah, I know what's going on with people because of the way their energies interact. So it's, come on.
Yeah.
Everything is very transparent. Like you said, it's like looking for signs. You just got to look for it. It's there right in front of your face.
Yes. And I mean, a person, I mean, you know a little bit about them just by their body language and their expressions. You can have someone that shares a smile, or you have someone that just, you know, folds their arms and is grumpy, or, I mean, we express.
We do. And even in my own family, I have a relative that I could tell she could not stand me. She tolerated me. And this person would, you know, then I would go to my mom and say, this person's no. It's like, yeah, because I asked this person and they said, I have nothing for you or against you. Oh, really? Okay, I won't be going to your Christmas Eve parties anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
Know?
Oh. Yeah.
I'm not afraid to speak my mind anymore. You know, you just get to that point where you just, like, you know who likes you and who doesn't. And, you know, growing up, I would pick up these impressions from people.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Do you think religion makes a difference on what people pick up? Or do you think more seeing things as just everything is, you know, totality and we're all connected consciously?
I feel that religion can... depends on the religious stance or what the religion teaches you. I feel personally religion can help you with your spirituality, but if it's becoming too controlling and too dogmatic, then you got a problem. You know, I think that religion is a springboard to help you seek the outer things, the what cannot be explained, universe, divine, God, whatever you want to call it. I think that, you know, I grew up as a Catholic, and I do candle magic. Well, what do you do when you go to a Catholic church? You light candles, and you have incense.
Yes.
And you pray to a statue or a saint. You know, it's the same way. I mean, it all depends on your religious upbringing. And then there's religions out there that say, you know, what I do is, you know, against the devil, which... there's a scripture, I think, Corinthians about gifts of the Spirit, of prophecy and healing and that. So, you know, it's all left to interpretation. I believe we're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've come to that point in my life, but growing up, you know, there was different religious thoughts. I mean, I was never really discouraged from my beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. I love that. And, you know, love and compassion, I believe, are the greatest power. I really do.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. You know, love and compassion for our fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think as we get into this process here of the energies are shifting so much lately that we have to get back to the core values of love and compassion, you know, with what's going on and really looking beyond the veil of what's really going on in the TV or in our system of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So any recommendations for listeners who are, you know, picking up on all this energy that's going on, the shift, the fear, the anger, how any recommendations for them on dealing with that?
Of course. You know, my one big number one offender is the news. Now, people say, don't you watch the news? No. First of all, I live in Florida, and if there's a hurricane, I have the hurricane alerts on my phone. I don't like to watch the news. To me, it's very fear-based. So I avoid the news. I may watch it for the weather, and that's it. I don't really want to know because I'm so empathic. So I would tell people to keep their environment as positive as possible. Maybe listen to one of your favorite gurus like Wayne Dyer or Neely Donald Walsh or Marianne Williamson or whatever you're into. I would avoid the news at all costs and the newspapers, what you read online. I mean, we're in such a society that you read, you know, there's news is everywhere, you know, the need to know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is to keep your thoughts positive as possible and really go within. And people are like, what do you mean go within? Meditate. Mm-hmm. Meditate and just be. Sometimes it's good to just go with it and allow things to be. Now, when we had our recent presidential election, I felt the energies. I felt fear. I had to go within for a few days. I had to kind of go in and stay where I was because I was picking up on that. Another thing is calling in Archangel Michael. He's a great guy, Archangel Michael, to call me. There's a simple prayer that was channeled to me. Archangel Michael, guard me, guide me, and protect me.
I love it.
And that helps me with surrounding myself with white light, gold light, whatever light you want to use. Some people use pink light. They jump into a pink bubble. And I've seen people do that, actually. Another thing is Epsom salt or sea salt bath. Take that at the end of the day and soak in it for 20 minutes. Relax and pretend that all that negativity that you have experienced throughout the day will clear out your aura and is going down the drain.
Those
are just a few suggestions.
I love it. With about 2 minutes left in the show, let's just share any last few words. I mean, you've just given us some great suggestions. What last words would you like to share with everyone today, Amy?
You know, one lesson I've learned through my life is to be authentic. Just be who you are. No matter what you are, what your purpose and path is, just be who you are and don't allow the outside world to interfere with that. You have a purpose. You have a life path. You have a passion. Live it. You're the only one that can do it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And you are there if anyone wants to connect with you, and you can help them with that, can't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's been one of my life lessons because I believe the more an intuitive goes through, the better off you're going to be to help your clients,
mm-hmm.
the better understanding you're going to gain for your clients.
Yes. Oh, I just love it. You are just a fascinating young lady, Amy. I am just so tickled to have you on the show.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you for having me. It's been an honor. It's been a pleasure.
Yes. You know, and I can just imagine how it is to feels to know that you make such a difference in the world and for others. What a beautiful path, Amy.
Thank you. Yes. We all make a difference. We all have a path.
Yes.
We all have a purpose. It's up to us to live to that purpose.
Yes. Okay? Oh, yes. Beautiful words. Oh, thank you so much, Amy. I'm so grateful to have had you on today. Oh, thank you. And to all of our listeners out there, thank you for joining us today. Love, hugs, blessings, a happy day to everyone. Love, hugs, blessings your way as well, Amy.
Thank you very much, Paula.
Thank you. And bye, everyone.
Bye.